our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship this Pentecost Sunday at Providence Presbyterian Church. We are so glad that you are here with us in worship. We know that there are all kinds of things going on in the life of the city and in our own lives, and we're glad you're here with us so that we might praise God together and celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. We particularly would like to welcome those who are visiting with us, perhaps for the first time. We hope that everyone will take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside pew and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. Particularly would love to welcome the Backman family, minus Nathan, back for a visit this Pentecost. It was 6 years ago that they began worshiping here, and they have moved on to Iowa, but they're back here for a visit, and so we're delighted to have them with us. Pastor Medhat and his family are beginning their trek to Rhode Island this morning, and he would covet our prayers as they travel, not quite by covered wagon, but close, probably, to Rhode Island this probably arriving by Wednesday. Many thanks to all of you who were part of the work day yesterday that painted the front windows and made the dinosaur in the side yard sparkle. So those of you who haven't seen the dinosaur playground, you might want to go take a look after worship today. Many thanks to all of you who were here for that, as well as taking care of the food pantry at Camp Street yesterday on our regular third Saturday. Please take note of the calendar announcements that you'll find in the bulletin this morning so that you may see what's happening in this week to come and as the days go along. Particularly, I want to draw your attention this morning to a meeting that will be happening tomorrow night to pray for our schools, which we have been doing periodically and hopefully more often privately, but together tomorrow we will be gathering at Alice Cooper's house for refreshments beginning at 6:45 and prayers beginning at 7. And if you have prayers that you would like us specifically to raise, please bring them to Alice or myself or email me so that we can enfold those as we as a community continue to pray for the needs before us. Please take note that we're going to do something a little bit different this morning as we celebrate our call to worship after the introit. I am going to invite you to respond responsively to a series of phrases. And you are also invited to raise up your own phrases calling us to worship that we will respond to with the words, "Yes, let's." We experienced this at Presbytery last Saturday, so I'm expecting, or a couple of weeks ago, so I'm expecting Letitia to be able to sing forth one of those things, and we will see how the Spirit moves us as we call ourselves to worship together here, first in song with the chancel choir, and then verbally.
Thank you.
invite you to bring your own calls to worship as we respond first to this in our bulletin this morning. Let us come together to celebrate the gifts of the Spirit in community. Someone else might say,
let us praise the God who poured out his Spirit on all nations.
Yes, bless. Others, let us sing and pray our praises and our petitions to God this day. Let us be thankful for nature and all of God's creation. Yes, let's. Yes. Yes, let's. Yes, let's. Yes, let's. Let us be thankful for the community that is gathered here from all ages and places and circumstances of life. Let us join in worship and praise this morning as we sing together, led by our worship band.
Let us stand together as we sing. Yes, let's.
Fire, fire, flow.
On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter preached to the crowds and offered this invitation from God. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Friends, let us come to God in repentance, confessing our sins, first in silence, and then praying together the prayer of confession in our bulletin. Let us pray together. God of all life and death, the Spirit calls each of us, our Lord redeems, but we are often reluctant to heed the call. The wind of the Spirit blows, at times fiercely, and draws us onward. Yet we cling to the fragile familiarities, to securities, and to safety. Help us to risk letting go, to stand free as your servant people. Help us to capture visions of the future so that we can truly be the church. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue our worship in a spirit of confession as we sing the Song of Confession, verse number 4 of Make Me a Channel of Your Peace in the small blue Sing the Faith hymnal number 2171. When Peter spoke of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, he said to the people, "For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." Friends, because of the lavish mercy and welcome of our God, we can have confidence that our sins are forgiven. The gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit is for us. Amen.
Adamo Rosona, Jesu di Adoye, Adamo Rosona, Jesu di Adoye.
This is the time in our service when we ask for prayer and pray for one another. So I'm going to run the mic and can let us know what you would like us to pray for. Celebration in Boston, and while she was there, a man approached her afterwards and asked her where she was going to school, and it turned out that he is on the board of Berklee School of Music, and he said, well, you need to email them, tell them your story, you need to get scholarship, and so she did, and a half hour after she emailed, they emailed back with a $14,000 scholarship. And another man who was also there, who is on the national board for Make-A-Wish Foundation, asked her to sing at the national celebration in Arizona, and he phoned her 2 days later and said that he was very wealthy, and he gave her a $10,000 yearly personal scholarship from him. So she had gotten to the point where she couldn't go, neither parent works, and she made the decision not to go, and was scrambling because it was the only school that she applied to, and she gave it all to God, and she said, okay, I can't go there. And within, you know, 10 days, she is now going to be attending that school, and it just shows us so much the power of prayer.
And what is her name?
Her name is Morgan.
Sorry, I didn't get to make an announcement, but Dylan and I are part of Young Life, which is a high school organization. It's a Christian organization for high schoolers, and we're doing some fundraisers to go to a summer camp this year. So one of them is a coffee fundraiser. We did it in the fall. Part of the money goes to send Rhode Island kids to Young Life, and part goes to Nicaraguan kids selling going to Young Life, and it's Nicaraguan coffee. And the other fundraiser is the car wash, which we get sponsors for. And you can sponsor however much you want, and then you get the free car wash if you want to go, or you could even just sponsor and not go to the car wash. So if you want to help us with either of these fundraisers, just see Dylan or I after church. Thanks.
I'm asking for continuous prayers for Pastor David and Lisa Watermilder as they struggle with the loss of their baby son, Matteo. I talked with them yesterday. They seem to be doing okay, you know, but we have to remember them in our prayers.
I have a joy. I went to a wedding yesterday for my nephew, and I had the most beautiful time. Actually, I went to the Catholic church I grew up in, and I haven't been there in so long. I actually made my first communion there. I was like, oh my God, it's like way back when. But I really had a really, really good time. I was amongst my family, my nieces, my nephews. I've met up with friends that I hadn't seen in 30 years, and from Florida and all over the country. And it was just a joy because, you know, it was just amazing. You know, I get to connect with people I haven't seen in a long time. And also, I like prayers for my brother Michael and his wife, Sherry, because she's still struggling with them. Blood on, bleeding in the on her brain, she had fell. And also, Chris had told me I could announce this because I went to a meeting on, because it's Mental Health Awareness Month this month, and I went to a meeting on that, and I was very interested in how to, you know, help people in my community, and there was an opportunity for me to get a garden started right here on Cypress, and it was free to me to get a spot. And Denise and I are going to do it together. If anybody could, because I didn't realize that we had to do it like all from scratch, but because I'm like clueless. But I did call some family members in the church. I call them family, and they are willing to help us. But if anybody has any suggestions or help if needed, it would be greatly appreciated and needed because we're starting from scratch. But you know, it's just a joy that I can be amongst people in the church to help, you know, to help me and her and I. We're neighbors, so it's going to be really a good thing for us. And it helps us to get outside of ourselves and to be around people in nature. Because when somebody just said prayer for nature, I love nature because I don't like to be stuck in the house. You know, people get shut-ins and because, you know, if you have no place to go, and you know, you just get depressed, and that's I believe, you know, being out in nature is through God's grace. Thank you.
I'd like to continue prayer for my brother Jim, and we all know that prayer works because he was on a whisker of being into the hospital with pneumonia, and thankfully he is not. So keep praying, folks. Thank you.
This is likely Hannah and I's last Sunday with you all since I'll be graduating from medical school next Sunday. So we just wanted to thank you all for your fellowship over the last few years, and we'd ask for your prayers as we make this transition. Thanks.
I'd like to just request ongoing prayers. I know you all have been continuously praying for Heather. We definitely have both felt those prayers. We got one treatment left, and so just want to thank you for that. Also, my niece Rebecca, who has started chemo again, I'm not sure if you knew that, and just for their family as they go through that. And last, a prayer of thanksgiving and healing that I'm not fully recovered yet, but I did have successful back surgery, and obviously I'm up and moving a week later, so I'm so far so good. So thank you all. We've definitely felt your prayers. So.
Ask prayers for my friend CJ. Her wife, Mander, had a series of seizures this week, and her brain doesn't seem to be recovering as they expected. So just prayers for CJ and Mander and their two little girls.
I would like to ask prayer for my daughter, Nicole, and 29 other students, some professors and doctors from Emory University. Right now, they are in Ghana on a global medical brigade, and they will be back next week.
Jenny and I would like to ask your prayers for our nephew, Jeff Miner. Jeff is 32 years old. He's just finished a couple years ago his doctorate in medieval history, and he's been several years trying to find that first opening for a professorship, and he was given that job opportunity this fall in Kentucky, and they're in San Francisco right now, and they just had their second child, so 3.5-year-old and a newborn, and he was just recently diagnosed with lymphoma, and I think the prognosis can be good, but it sounds like 7 to 8 months of intense hospitalization the young family trying to get itself on its legs and get to a new position. So your prayers are deeply appreciated.
I would like continued prayers for a medical student, Brendan, who is on his second week of a medical mission trip in a closed access country.
Prayers, too, for the mother-in-law of Elena, our church organist. She is having valve replacement surgery tomorrow up in Boston, Camilla. And so we pray for her for a swift and peaceful time in that through that surgical process. Let us pray. Creator and creating God, all life lives in you, and to you all life returns. We give thanks for your steadfast presence amidst all the journeys of life, for your reach of love and grace amidst challenge and opportunity, amidst loss and new life and miracles of healing and prayers answered. You redeem and inspire hope as your community gathers, as we are sent forth in witness, as we hear one another. We praise you for coming to earth to walk this journey with us, to open the door to the Spirit, to live anew in the gift we celebrate this Pentecost. We pray for our world, for wisdom for leaders and all your people to live in honest peace and justice, to reach for life for all your people. We lift to you those places where recovery continues from disaster beyond our headlines, for those who've been affected and who are working diligently on the train crash and restoration from Friday's accident. We give thanks, O God, this day for prayers answered, for the beauty of these days, for graduations celebrated and new opportunities before us, for your steadfast love leading to new experience. Thank you for the work of the church continuing to show forth your love, for the fellowship and diligence of people working together yesterday, for this amazing opportunity for Morgan to study, to hear her prayers answered. We thank you for the ministry and outreach of Young Life for so many, for Melinda's family wedding of her nephew yesterday. We thank you for your sustaining power at work in healing your people in their journeys to health and new life, as we pray for Judy and Heather, for Jahada, for Lee as he continues to recover out of the hospital, for Nicholas, for this new opportunity for Melinda and Denise to work together in the out of doors, in thanksgiving for David's healing after these months. We pray, O Lord, this day as well for those in need of your healing power and presence, for Camilla in surgery tomorrow, for Susan, for Michael and Sherry, for Jim, for Rebecca, for CJ, for Jeff Minor. We pray, O Lord, knowing that this is a time of year where there is great flux and transition as well. We pray that you would bless and strengthen those who are in particular need in these days as they face good and welcome transitions, as they face difficult times. Bless with your strength Pastor Medhat and his family as they begin today their journey to Rhode Island, a new chapter of family life here. For healing for the Watermelder family as they grieve the loss of Mateo and journey forth in faith, surrounded by new community and close to family. For all of our new graduates moving forth into new horizons, particularly Lynn Delagrata from our college fellowship. For Uncle Will and Denise in their wedding yesterday and Andrew's ability to be with them in that time. for the Kago and Kinua families as they await Ashley arriving here, for the school in Whitensville working in new dimensions with folks and students with learning disabilities and all our schools, for Craig and Hannah as they transition to Pittsburgh, for Nicole's opportunity in Ghana, and for Brendan as he continues in medical mission. We give thanks, O God, for the strength of your Spirit, ever blowing forth in new and surprising ways, spoken and unspoken. Lead us forth always into your ways alone as we seek to be faithful to your call in our lives. This we pray in all the languages of our world that you have given us, as we invite us to join together in our Lord's Prayer in our native tongues, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are invited forward to bring together the song of the Holy Spirit today. Our children are excused to go down to their classes. The high school class is meeting upstairs this morning.
Our scripture reading for this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and it's found on page 111 in the Pew Bible and page 144 in the large print Bible. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God for all of the amazing music of this congregation that comes from so many different dimensions. Through this Eastertide, we have been concentrating on the ways in which the church is called to move out into the world and answering that call. And today, the community gathers, as we do faithfully each Sunday, the community in Acts gathered too for the Jewish celebration of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, celebrating the giving of the law, the 50th day after Easter. The people gathered at the crossroads in Jerusalem with many different cultures and experiences. And as we too gather this day from many different cultures and experiences, let us join together in a time of prayer. Pour forth your Spirit, O God, as we encounter anew this story, that the words I speak may be a testimony to your power and activity in the world, and the meditations of all our hearts may draw us ever closer in your Spirit and grace, for you are our rock and our Redeemer, now and always. Amen. There is nothing quite like studying the story of Pentecost with the English Learners Fellowship meeting this last Friday to realize just how strange this story is. Really, really strange. In fact, so strange that as I started to type the next thoughts for this sermon that my fingers were on the wrong part of the keyboard and typed some really odd thing. Really, really odd. But the thought that I wanted to bring across here is that divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Each time we read the stories of the Christian year on these high holidays and different celebrations of the Christian year, we see new things. And this time, this phrase jumped right out of Luke's words. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. The adjectives and of this story grab us and grab us. Violent wind, those who gathered being bewildered, amazed, astonished, amazed, perplexed. Who could believe this story, these happenings? And how can God be so at work in a chaos of so much happening at one time? I must admit that when it comes to God speaking, I prefer much more the story of Elijah in the cave, where we read in 1 Kings, the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord," after Elijah has done battle with those prophets of Baal. "For look, the Lord is ready to pass by." And at that time, a very powerful wind went before the Lord, digging into the mountain and causing landslides, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the windstorm, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a soft whisper. God should come after the chaos, right? After the chaos, when we have time to stop and reflect, to ponder. Surely not in the midst of the chaos. But what do we do in a world where the chaos seems to come and come and come? I find it very heartening to hear this story of Pentecost, to read it with new eyes, that here, in the midst of chaos, God speaks, the people hear and understand. So often, God does God's best work in times of chaos. In the tumult of worlds turned upside down, relationships broken, fears released, God somehow has a way to release and unleash new and deepening understandings, to help people break free from chains that bind them, to make moves that they may have never had the courage to make before. God works as God does in this story, to strike down the barriers that stand in the way of people being in community with one another. And there's a paradox somehow in this chaotic work. Somehow, God sows, even in the midst of this chaos, seeds of order in the unfathomable promise that can come out of the darkest and deepest places of life, even death, to see something of beauty, even in the midst of pain. From the words of our text, in their own languages, they hear speaking about God's deeds of power. Last Friday at ELF was our last Friday with Mayura, who has been coming to ELF with her daughter Sora for 2 years, and Sora is only 3 now. She is returning back to Japan for the birth of their second child after her husband studies here. And at the same time that we met with them in studying this text, I also had a conversation earlier in this week with a couple from our church about this text. Both of them, very different context, talked about the connection of this story with the story of the Tower of Babel. The story where human language became confused and fractured, with barriers between people erected to form divisions and pull them away from relationship with one another as each strove to be best, to build higher and higher, to be gods, themselves and ourselves. It was Mayura who pointed out on Friday morning, in some wonder at the connection, that this story of Pentecost is really the opposite of that story, where everyone suddenly understands one another. They are together praying, and all of them encountering the chaos of their days, and suddenly they hear in their own languages. They hear speaking about God's deeds of power. As I envisioned this service here for today, I was tempted to take the order of the worship service and just throw it in a whole different way together, but I decided that would be just way too crazy. I was tempted to create a chaotic worship service in which to invite the Spirit to come in new ways here, but I realized that our order of the service speaks in ways that invite us to hear those different voices already. And so instead, I chose to graft and bring in together as many different experiences of the rich power of music of this church to be together, to touch in us the places where we need to hear God speak in this day. Last May, before Pentecost, I preached on a text that precedes this in Acts 1, the disciples and followers of Jesus regrouping and trying to figure out what is next to live out the call of Jesus, about the promise that he gives to them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is Jesus' promise to us and to his people realized at Pentecost. And at that prophecy that he brings, Jesus is lifted up and gone to heaven. But this isn't the end of the story of Acts 1. The disciples remain faithful. They pray. They prayerfully discern and choose a new disciple to replace Judas, and they continue to worship. They expect Jesus to come again to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today, we too are gathered in one place in worship together, and the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Friends, do not be afraid to speak of God's deeds of power in your own languages. Continue to expect the Spirit to come even in the midst of chaos, perhaps even particularly so. Speak forth about those deeds of God's power at work. Last week, Pastor Medhad and I had an email from the world religions teacher at Moses Brown School. She asked if she could bring her class studying Christianity to talk with one of us about what Christianity is all about in 30 minutes. And to make sure that we would allow time for questions as well. She had heard great things from the students that she had referred to here in past to talk with us about what it is that happens in a Presbyterian worship service, and had come to experience our worship over the years, and she wanted to see it for herself. And so they came on Monday afternoon, and I talked with them in the context of thinking about this sermon. What are God's deeds of power that define this promise and call that Jesus gives to his disciples and to us as we step out in faith in times of chaos? We are here today because we have experienced God's deeds of power, and we seek them still, as well as to give testimony and to speak. Remember them. Reach for them. Expect the Spirit to come. Look for it even in the most unexpected of places, even in chaos, for that Spirit frees us to life and unity with God and with one another. The Spirit is with us, in this time. This is, my friends, the power of Pentecost, where in the speaking and the hearing we are united to understand in ways we can scarcely ever imagine, in ways we are drawn together by God's grace alone. May it be so, this day and forevermore, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith together. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life, the same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles, rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Welcome, Letitia, for sharing signs of the Spirit.
Good morning. Who am I to talk about the Spirit? The Holy Spirit that I know or that I feel in my life is very silent. Sometimes it's hard to hear. I struggle. I pray that the Lord may open my ears, give me the eyes so I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I could see the Holy Spirit every day in my life. I have a small feet, size 6. But I'm always asking the Lord to lead me wherever I step. May His Holy Spirit guide us. Help me to preach His word, to present myself that I have Him
in me. When I walk into this church with my children, we didn't have that many people. And it was a different church to a different church. But the Holy Spirit kept me here. And I'm asking that for everyone. To come in, feel the Holy Spirit. When you leave, most of the time I tell somebody, have a good week. Yes, that Holy Spirit to take you, the passage, take you for a whole week, dwell on it. I think that's what I do. And I think it's working for me. And I hope it works for everybody. May the Holy Spirit guide us and teach us and fill us. Thank you.
Jesus told his disciples that it is better to give than to receive. We are invited to live lives of faith and generosity. So let us give generously for God's work in the church and in the world.
Bye.
Jesus, thank you for these gifts. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit most of all. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would use these gifts to bless your church and the world. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We are going to learn a new hymn this morning, led by the Ghana Choir, as I will call them forward to share with us this morning. In any language, we look around and we see the deeds of Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the grace and power and redeeming wonder of our Lord alive in our midst. Let us go forth as a people who live in the Spirit of Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.